Welcome, everyone, including our replay viewers. Stand by as we get our streams going, and we notify everyone that we're live. We'll hope you'll share your feedback and comment on Women's History Month, our union siblings in Canada, and equal play, pay, equal play. Oh, that's hilarious. That's something new there. We want to play equally, right?
Yes.
Yesterday was Asian American Pacific Islander Equal Pay Day, so we're also going to talk about that, and we're going to introduce you to the NFL Players Association. So we have a lot to look forward to. I have Delaine Adams here sitting with me. Delaine, you have a lot of news coming up, right? I'm going to get my stream going.
Yeah, great news out of Washington State, so we're excited to share that. So come on back and tune in.
That's right. So hang on, I'm getting the stream up right now. We have about a minute before we start the official show. And please let everybody know that they can comment at any time on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. So we're looking forward to your comments. I see the show, there it is. And I'm going to make sure I have everything here. Let's see, 2:59, Delaine, we have people watching already. Giles Shepherd, Kylie Hernandez.
Kylie, Josh.
Thank you for watching. It's 3 o'clock. Activate Live starts now.
Activate your voice.
Fight for your rights. Speak up.
Speak up.
We're union and we're proud.
Go union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to Activate Live, our weekly show about the Machinist Union, organized labor, and workers everywhere. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you live from the Robert J. Kolaski Studio at our Maryland headquarters. Here's Delaine Adams with the latest IAM news. What's going on, Delaine?
Big news out of Washington State. Thousands of members out of IAM District 751 just received pay raises.
All right.
So
mid-contract, right?
Mid-contract. So last October, IAM District 751, they demanded to bargain the effects of Boeing's wage disparity, and they were able to do this without opening up the contract, which is amazing. And as a result, 16,000 members from IAM District 751 received a pay raise.
Good work out there. John Holden, we just saw.
John Holden, great picture of John Holden. And like I said, I mean, District 751 leading the way, so we really appreciate all the work they're doing. But again, just to have that pay raise for 16,000 members is amazing.
So it shows the importance of actually fighting.
Yes, and unions matter.
They do.
Unions matter. So hopefully this is something that we can share with the organizing and whatever we're doing across North America.
Okay, so congratulations. So,
yeah, and then we go to other news. Nikki Haley has just been nominated to Boeing's board. And so you see President Martinez, and he's actually at District 751's hall speaking. But Nikki Haley, former U.S. ambassador to the UN and governor of South Carolina, has been nominated to Boeing's board. And as we all know out there, Haley is known for her anti-union statements. And there she is. She's at the signing of incentives for Boeing when they came to South Carolina. So again, this is something we have serious concerns about, and hopefully she will stay away from the anti-union statements and just do the work of Boeing and really help out our 35,000 members there at Boeing, including our newly organized group there in South Carolina, our flight line technicians.
Now, you said she was nominated, so is it just a nomination right now?
So it's just a nomination, and she will be voted on at the April 29th shareholders meeting.
Okay.
So right now it's just a nomination, but she probably won't have any issue. But again, we just will continue to raise serious concerns about this, and hopefully she stays away from the anti-union stuff and realizes how valuable our 35,000 members are there at Boeing contribute to their success. So
okay, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Definitely have to keep an eye on
the nomination process and hold her accountable.
Yes.
And Boeing accountable.
And Boeing. So
thank you so much, Delaine.
All right, take care, Tanya.
Okay. Well, March is Women's History Month, and it's a chance for us to highlight our women members, especially those who are leaders in our union and on the local and district levels. Well, we have several women attending our foundational skills class at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland, and that's where we find Kim Valier. let's start with Kim. Kim, are you there?
I am. How are you, Tanya?
Good, doing so well. So Kim, tell us, what was your first union job?
Union steward on the shop floor on the midnight shift. Yeah.
Now, what were you doing? What was your actual job? Were you on a production line?
Yeah, automotive manufacturing. I worked for a corporation that made heat exchangers in Cambridge, Ontario.
That is wonderful. Now, when you started working, did you consider that a non-traditional job?
It was a factory that did have quite a few women that worked there because it was an assembly type plant. So there was some women there.
Now, what kind of support were there when you first started, and how much did that support mean as a woman coming into a job like that?
So on the shop floor, there was, like I said, quite a few women that worked there. So there was support from your peers for different work that needed to be done. When I first got involved with the union as a steward, our local lodge president was a female, and executive members, we had lots of female sisters on the executive board. So there was some good exposure there.
We're trying to get more women to take leadership positions. What was it that made you want to become a steward?
You see things going on the shop floor that you think are not fair. And, whether you're male or female, those things need to be dealt with. And lots of times I was actually stepping up to the plate and defending my male coworkers. So
it goes both ways. We all need support.
Absolutely.
Now take us a little bit through your rise through the ranks. After you were a steward, what was the next position that you went for?
So I was vice president of the local. I was also at that time for many years on the health and safety committee. And then I became president of the local and held that position for approximately 8 years.
Excellent. We're so glad that you did that. And congratulations, because you have been named a directing business rep now.
Yes.
But before that even happened, in 2013, you were in a mentoring program. Tell us a little bit about that and what it was like.
So the mentoring program at District 78, they do an evaluation and identify leaders within the different locals within District 78. And you come on board and you get some experience. You go out and do some negotiations and grievance handling with the different more experienced reps at District 78 and go from there. And then, you develop those skills that are already there because you've been doing that work for many years. And it's a great opportunity for people to get some experience and exposure to see if it's something that they're even interested in, because, there is challenges.
I was just about to ask you about challenges, okay? What are some of the challenges working and taking care of a family? I mean, whether you're a woman or a man, what are some of the challenges there?
Yeah, it definitely is a bit of a balancing act. When you're working different shifts or you have different responsibilities, you're attending labor council meetings, you're attending union meetings, you want to participate and step up to the plate on those roles, but there is challenges with it. There was times that the kids came to meetings or rallies or different situations that you want to participate in, and you end up bringing them along, but it's a priority, and so you have to make time for that.
So you're showing that you can be a mom, you can still take care of the kids, attend your union meetings, it can be done.
Absolutely.
What advice do you have for young women that are just joining our union and they want to become more involved?
So I would say, volunteer, come out to the meetings, put your hand up. I often have said through different times of, whether it's an election or whether, I always say there's way more work in this organization, in this union, that needs to be done than we have people to do it. So, you put your hand up and people will find a committee for you to sit on. They'll find some way for you to participate. You can learn, you can have those experience with other, females. And a lot of our brothers, I would say, the majority of our brothers are very supportive in helping those people develop those skills and participate.
Kim, we need to get an update on Canada now. What issues are you dealing with up there?
So right now we're dealing with a lot of, on a political level, where we're pushing for the CLC, the Canadian Labour Congress is pushing for a national pharmacare program. We're pushing for pension protections. And both of those items specifically are very important, especially to women in the workplace, because women in the workplace, you know, we pharmacare is a big deal, looking after families, and it's a family issue, and we don't always have jobs where, you know, prescription drug coverage is paid for or things like that. Although we do have a good healthcare program, it doesn't include pharmacare and pension protections. We need to have good family protections, which includes pension protections. Those are deferred wages, and they need to be protected.
You know, I think those are universal issues that we all care about in North America. So mm-hmm. we're fighting a lot of the same issues, and we really are trying to support each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to mention, Kim?
No, I'm here, and I'd like to say the Placid Harbor here, the training facilities, if you can get, just to go back to your question about what women can do, you know, if you can get an opportunity to come to the W3 Center and take the leadership programs, I support those leadership programs 100%. I strongly feel that we develop leaders here. The skills sometimes are already there, but they're just enhanced and they're identified here. And it's a great facility. And I really think that, you know, locals should support men, women, to come out here and participate in the leadership programs.
Great. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us, Kim.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you. That was Kim Valier from the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center, and she is a directing business representative. So join the conversation. Let us know what you think about working women in non-traditional careers. You can comment now to activate your voice about supporting our women members of the IAM. And some people have already started to comment. We have Heather Kelly saying mentoring is essential to the life of the union. We appreciate that. I also see Zita Hildebrand, Tony Wirth, and James Murray have joined us. So thank you. Zita saying hello from Halifax. Hunter Scott is saying he's watching from W3 this weekend, this week. That's our nickname that we use for the William W. Wimpasinger Center. We call it W3, so that's what we affectionately call it. So thank you for the comments. Keep them coming. We do appreciate it. Well, yesterday was Asian American Pacific Islander Equal Pay Day, which means it took all of 2018 and this year up until yesterday for an Asian American woman to earn what a white man earned in all of 2018. Joining us now to talk about equal pay is Jacqueline Dean from the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. Thanks for being here, Jacqueline.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Jacqueline, first off, tell us a little bit about your organization, which you call NAPHOF.
Sure. So NAPHOF is the only national organization that's really focused on building a movement, building collective power for Asian American and Pacific Islander women and girls. So we work in social justice and human rights using community organizing and policy advocacy. And we work specifically in reproductive health and rights, immigrant rights, and economic justice on issues such as equal pay.
Now, speaking of equal pay, I know you have a lot of statistics about how many people agree with equal pay and who do not. How many Asian American Pacific Islanders agree with equal pay?
It's a topic that gets pretty broad support. 89% of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders in the U.S. agree that employers should be paying men and women the same amount of money for the same work.
And when you break down into specific numbers, what are the numbers when a man is making a dollar? You know, how much of that is an Asian American Pacific Islander woman making?
Sure. So you typically hear that women on average are making 80 or 82 cents to the white man's dollar. And a lot of times we'll break that down by race for Asian American Pacific Islanders, for Latinas, and for Black women. And so when you break that down for AAPI women, you see that we make on average 85 cents to the white male dollar. However, you know, Asian Americans are a very diverse group. We cover around 40 or 50 ethnicities and over 100 languages in the U.S. And so when you disaggregate that data by ethnicity and you look at the individual amounts of, you know, the wage gap based on particular ethnic subgroups, you'll see that Southeast Asian Americans in particular and Pacific Islander women are making way less than this average amount of 85 cents to a dollar. So on this graphic, you'll see that, you know, there's a wide range of pay among Asian American women. So up at the top, you have Indian American women who are making on average $1.21 to the white male dollar. And then you have everything in between. And you'll notice that a lot of the Southeast Asian Americans are towards the bottom, and a lot of the Pacific Islander women as well. So, you know, a lot of the Southeast Asian women who came here as refugees, the Cambodian, Laotian, Hmong, Burmese women are way at the bottom, making 58, 57, 50 cents to the white male dollar, which means for the Burmese women, their equal payday would be in December at the very end of the year. They would have to work an entire year to catch up, an extra year to catch up to what a white male would make in a year.
There's so many things that can affect pay, and we've broken down these ethnicities, but when you go to identities such as transgender, what are the stats there?
Yes, API transgender people make significantly less than white men and even, you know, API women. So we don't have that much data on AAPI transgender people, but the U.S. Transgender Survey has told us that 18% of AAPI trans people report a household income of less than $10,000 per year. So that is far below the poverty line. And, you know, these are the people who are really struggling to get healthcare and to really achieve economic justice. And so, though we don't have specific numbers on what their actual wages are compared to white men, we know that it is far, far lower than what white men make.
Yeah, I mean, that is worth repeating, $10,000 a year for people just think about trying to get by on that amount.
Right.
That is awful.
It's awful.
Okay, so how can we close the pay gap? What is the key?
Well, there are many different factors that go into this wage disparity, and a lot of it is occupational segregation. So you'll see that a lot of the low-wage women are making far less than white men when compared to just women on average, and that's true for API women as well. So even though it's 85 cents to a dollar for API women who are working in low-wage occupations or who are mothers, they're making 74 cents or 80 cents to the white male dollar. And research has shown that unionizing helps close the pay gap. So when women unionize, they earn on average $231 a week more than women who are not in the union. So you see the immediate difference there based on, you know, the collective bargaining power that they have, especially in these low-wage jobs where they're not making nearly as much as the white men do.
How much a difference can that $231 mean to a person's way of life?
So much. I mean, that's like, what, $1,000 a month? That's my rent in D.C. So you can imagine what that might mean for a family, you know, in terms of the meals that they're able to provide, in terms of the healthcare costs that they can, you know, that they can cover, car payments, you know, that adds up so much. And so unionizing really is one of the big solutions that we have. We are also looking at passing things in Congress, such as a minimum wage act. So trying to get a $15 minimum wage, and also the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would prevent employers from asking about salary history and provides women a lot of protections from retaliation when they're negotiating their pay.
So what can we do to help as workers?
As workers, I would urge your members of Congress, or thank them if they have already supported the Raise the Wage Act and the Paycheck Fairness Act, and to really urge them to continue pushing for those pieces of legislation, especially for union workers, and to really emphasize the importance of being in unions. And, you know, also asking members to, you know, just support workers and a lot of other policies that that really support unions and unionized laborers.
Thank you so much for joining us. If anyone would like to get more information about NAPHOF, where should they go?
They should go to www.naphof, that's ANPAWF.org. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at NAPHOF. And we really urge a lot of the API women and girls out there, if they're interested in joining a cohort of really passionate and dedicated API women and girls who are who want to achieve social justice and want to find other people to get involved and to build a grassroots movement, to become NAPHOF members as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, Jacqueline.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, that was Jacqueline Dean. We have people commenting already. We have Brittany Anderson here saying that's huge. Unions are the great equalizer. I agree, Brittany, definitely. We thank all of you who are commenting so far. We have another comment coming from District 141 saying our sisters are a powerful force in our union. Solidarity from District 141. Thank you so much for comments. Let us know what you think. You can still comment even during the replay about equal pay for equal work. Comment on this video. We'd like to hear from you watching at home, even during the replay, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. You can use live chat on YouTube. Well, labor unions represent workers from all walks of life and various industries. Some of the industries are completely different than others. But as union members, we have common concerns: workplace safety, having a voice on the job, and making sure that we have adequate health benefits, especially when we need them. Well, whether you're a machinist, an auto mechanic, a flight attendant, a federal worker, or a driver, we're here to support each other when it comes to workers' rights. Well, same thing goes for high-profile professions like acting and athletics. And joining me now is a member of the NFL Players Association. Austin Roberts is here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Well, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience by telling us who you play for, what's your position, where you're from.
All right, well, I play for the Los Angeles Chargers out in Los Angeles, California. And I'm a tight end. This is my going into my second year in the league. I just finished my rookie season.
All right.
And now just trying to make the most of my offseason.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And you're making good use of your offseason.
Yeah, I could say so.
You are here in D.C. or in the D.C. area with an externship program. Tell us a little bit about how that works and what you're doing.
So through the NFLPA, that every year for the past few years, they offer an opportunity for athletes, NFL athletes, to, you know, get job experience during their time off. So because we have our schedules are filled up throughout the whole season, and there's not much time for us to really get gain job experience outside of football, which is important for whenever we're done playing. So they partner up with different companies like Fanatics, you know, the NFLPA, obviously. This company called Whoop that does like a little Fitbit band.
Okay.
Yeah, just multiple companies, and they offer positions for players to come in and work for a few weeks, you know, and learn what it takes to be in a workplace environment rather than in a locker room environment. And it's a very rewarding, very fulfilling experience.
So where were you located for the externship?
So I'm actually here, like in the DMV area at the NFLPA out in Washington, D.C.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you're learning all about the union and how it works.
Right.
What has it been like so far this week?
I've been busy. I can say that. I've definitely been busy helping out with as much as I can, because I'm particularly with the Players, Inc., which is kind of the for-profit side of the union. So kind of helping out setting up player camps, trying to, you know, tally up our sponsorships for, you know, different events. Also just a lot of learning on what goes on behind the scenes and what kind of keeps the thing keeps us going.
You all do a lot of community service, even with the Players Association. How much does that mean for you all to give back, especially to young people?
Well, being a young man, you know, I'm not extremely far off from being that young high school kid, middle school kid, looking up to these NFL players. And, you know, once we get to the league, you see the impact that you have just by, you know, going out, putting on your jersey and playing a game. So a lot of us want to have an opportunity to give back. And the NFLPA actually has started a program not too long ago with helping players set up free camps for kids to come and participate in. So it's definitely, you know, the NFLPA definitely helps out a lot for community service.
Now you said you learned a little bit about unions in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Where did you go to high school?
I went to two different high schools. I went to high school in Indianapolis, and I also went to high school in Tampa. But I graduated from Carmel High School in Indianapolis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said you studied unions a little bit?
Like American history. We spoke previously, was it the shirt fire?
Yeah, Shirtwaist Factory.
The Shirtwaist Factory, yeah. I remember that was being the first, like, kind of catalyst towards unionization for workers, like, you know, and they wanted a better worker environment, better pay, better hours, and it's kind of just evolved from that ever since.
Better safety as well.
Safety, yes, absolutely.
Speaking about player safety, you're involved in an organization called PAIR. Mm. What does that stand for, and how does that work?
So PAIR stands for Players Associations Injured Reserve. So it's a program that they put on throughout the season for players that are unfortunately hurt and out for the year. And that was, and unfortunately I was part of that. Well, fortunately, because it's a great experience, but you want to be out there playing.
Right.
But
no one wants to be injured, right?
Nobody wants to be injured. So what happens is they fly out some players that are interested in participating, and they inform them on all, you know, that the NFLPA does for them. You know, they'll have different seminars on aspects of life such as, you know, finance, you know, mental health, wellness. And it's just really a very informative session that, you know, a lot of players are starting to make use of.
How much of a difference does it make to have a player who's been through what you're going through? Like, to hear from a player who's already been injured and trying to get through the experience?
It lets me know that I'm not alone. You know, definitely being a rookie, you know, your expectations are sky high. It's like you worked your whole life to get there. And then just having the wind taken out of your sails, like, before you can really get the ball rolling. And just seeing people that have gone through what you're going through and having success is definitely, you know, one of the biggest helpers that a young guy like myself has seen.
I know you keep saying you're still young, but you already have that first season of experience. Man. Any advice for the young ones coming in that, you know, in next season, who have never been in a labor union before? Like, what would you tell them about how the Players Association can help them?
I would say that if I were to, like, talk to a younger guy, you know, make sure you inform yourself on what the labor union does for you and what services that you can access. Like, you know, I've learned that they help you with your contract if you want someone to look over it. They help you with, finding a financial advisor, finding the right agent. Like, just there's so many things that the PA does that can make your transition from college to NFL so much smoother. So just learn as much as you can about it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just so glad that you took time out to come and talk to us. Anything else you'd like to say about your experience this week with the Players Association?
I'd just like to thank the NFLPA for throwing this program, you know, giving players an opportunity to go kind of out of their comfort zone and being able to, you know, learn more about themselves and be able to help different companies, you know, achieve their goals.
Okay, we have a few people in our studio. I'm just going to give a little shout out. Any other questions anybody wants to ask? Woody, what else did we miss?
It's just the, it's great that even the players and the entertainers that they are and everything get to, they have to have a good contract too.
That's true.
Else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how important is it to you knowing that you're protected by a union contract?
You know, coming into the league, I wasn't really thinking about that. You know, just sign your name on a piece of paper and you're good to go. But then as I've come to the union and I've learned more about it, about ever since like the late 80s, early 90s, all the negotiations, especially with like the CBA, about all the protections that we have when we sign our name, you know, it's incredible, like, the work that's put in for something that, you know, a lot of us take for granted.
That's true. Mm. A union contract means a lot. That's what we like to say a lot of times. Mm. Unions matter.
Absolutely.
You know, so hopefully we'll educate people from all the different professions about how important a union contract is. Mm. So keep up the good work.
Well, for sure. I'll try my best.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much. And we have a few comments that we have on our Facebook page is the one I'm looking at now, because you too can comment on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. even during the replay. We have some coming in so far. We've been talking to Austin Roberts from the NFL Players Association. And we have Bob Wood, who just said, welcome to the NFL Players Association in the Machinist House. So we love collaborating with other unions. Brian Steinmack saying, awesome to see such a young player as a representative of the NFLPA. So important for young workers to be active in their unions. We totally agree, Brian. Good point there. We have IAM Local 1776 saying, good to see other unions coming on Activate Live. Thank you to the NFL Players Association. Yes, we try to reach out to as many other unions as we can because we have a lot of the same concerns, especially when it comes to workers' safety. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine even being in one of those helmets and getting hit. So more power to you. Keep safe out there.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I will.
Thank you so much. And for more information, you can visit NFLPA.org. Is that right, Brandon? We got Brandon in the studio. All right, NFLPA.org. So go check out the website and see all the resources they have there. So this week, we're going to take a look back now. We're going to take a look back at this week in labor history, as we often do. In 1989, machinists were on strike at Eastern Airlines and were soon joined by flight attendants and pilots in the nationwide walkout. Owner Frank Lorenzo refused to consider the union's demands. Well, Eastern eventually went out of business, and we actually have some memorabilia that is down at the William W. Wimpesinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland, and there's a look at some of that memorabilia there. So that's what happened this week in history. And also, we have this week in 1933, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt named Frances Perkins Secretary of Labor. She became the first woman cabinet member in U.S. history. There is a special event coming up at the AFL-CIO headquarters honoring women labor leaders. It was called We Were There. It's a celebration of Women's History Month and features a multimedia labor history project featuring voices, songs, and images. It's March 28th, that's a new date, at 3 p.m. in Washington, D.C. It's co-sponsored by the Coalition of Labor Union Women and the Labor Heritage Foundation. And I will be there playing the part of Lucy Parsons. I did that last year, so this is my second year. Here's what's ahead on the IAM calendar. We have some deadlines for you. March 8th is the deadline for basic communicators. March 11th is the deadline for the retirees' education and strategy, along with the young workers' strategy, and you can get more information on the website, wimpesinger.iamaw.org. We also have our state council meetings coming up. Washington Council meets in Olympia March 13th through the 15th. Missouri State Council meets in Jefferson City March 24th to the 27th. Arizona State Council meets in Prescott Valley March 30th. Also on the 30th, California Conference of Machinists meets in Sacramento. We have our IAM photo, web, and newsletter contest. You can enter. The deadline is April 1st, so this is the last month to get all of your entries in. It could be photos of machinists on the job or doing community service. So get all those entries in this month. They're starting to come in. Spread the word about that. We also have conferences coming up, including the Women's Conference. The theme is Women Rising, Unite the Fight. That's going to be April 3rd to the 6th in Las Vegas. We also have other conferences coming up as well. The Transportation Conference is April 8th to the 11th, and the Legislative Conference is here in Washington, D.C., May 6th to the 8th. So mark your calendars there. We also have the Workers' Memorial Service happening May 1st in Hollywood, Maryland. That will take place at 11 a.m. Eastern Time down at the Wimpesinger Center Memorial Park. So we will stream that live for you for anyone that can't make it, but we do have a lot of people that travel in for that. We mourn the dead, we honor them, and we also fight for the living and remember how important that is. So we will have that along with the IAM 2019 Communications Conference. That will be June 4th to the 6th, and the theme is voice activation. We will show all the communicators throughout our union how to activate their voices. So a lot coming up. We hope you got it all. That is it for this episode of Activate Live. Next Wednesday, we are going to recap International Women's Day, which is March 8th, coming up this Friday. We'll also take a look at labor film festivals, which are becoming more popular. So we will see you next week, same time, on this same social media channel, and you can always watch the replay at your convenience.